Hi, and welcome back to the Childhood Development Initiative's Restorative Practice podcast, where we talk all things RP. For this second season, we resume visiting communities and organisations to collect stories from practitioners around Ireland. We talk to young people, teachers, lecturers, youth and community workers, and restorative practices trainers to gather their insights on the impact of RP in their life and work. Each episode is focusing either on a place with several voices or on a practitioner. If you are not familiar with restorative practices, the restorative approach, the restorative questions, and the work CDI does, you can listen to the first episode of season one of our podcast series where it is all explained.
Hi, I'm Dorothy Danew, Restorative Practice Quality Specialist for CDI, and I'm delighted to be back on the road for the second season of Circles of Connection. For this episode, I went to Belvedere Youth Club in East North Inner City, Dublin, and I met with James Bowes, the Restorative Practices Coordinator, Jonathan Dolling, the Youth Work Team Leader, and Dean Murray, one of the youth workers. We talked about the journey the youth club staff and young people have undertaken to become a restorative hub in the community. First, James, Jonathan and Dean introduced themselves and the youth club and talked to me about their own background, vision and motivation when it comes to RP.
My name is James Bowles and I'm the Restorative Practice Coordinator here in the Belvedere Youth Club. I've been tasked to bring in into this youth club's around 104 years, and it's been an Indigenous white Irish sort of youth club for a certain area within the Northeast Inner City. So I've been tasked by our board to come in here and open it up to full diversity and inclusivity, and I've been asked to I've worked with the RP advisory boards to develop a model that we're going to use in the organisation in order to try and transform this youth club into a restorative hub. I'm from the Southeast Inner City. I came from a big family and from a socially deployed background. As a young man, I got into a lot of trouble. I ended up then, from getting into trouble, I ended up doing a 17-year sentence in prison. When I was released from prison, I went back to university and I'd done a degree in law, and then I'd done a master's in adult education. Well, it was a HDIP in adult education, so I can teach law. And I never believed that I was employable again because of my background. And I applied for this job, and the board on here, I have to say, you know, the highest respect for them, because they didn't judge me on that. They seen like where I was, and they gave me the second interview, and we discovered that we shared the same vision. So I suppose the simple way of me putting it is I'm almost like a poacher turned gamekeeper, if that analogy sort of works in your mind. And I want to give back. And part of giving back to me is to try and stop young men like me, where they are now, from going into a system that's absolutely horrendous. So part of my journey is coming here and seeing the power of what restorative practices can do for a person if they understand how it works. So that led me to this job here, and it's been really important for me to sort of establish and to complete the journey that we started on to turn this organization to restorative hub, because I genuinely believe that with the right information and with the right guidance, young people can make much, much better choices. And our board thinks the very same thing. They think that if we give voices to young people and we allow them to make decisions themselves and we allow them to be part of the solutions for any problems that they create, then we're in a much better position going forward. So, and how we explain that is if I start working with a 7-year-old, and I work restoratively with him from 7 years of age, by the time he reaches 17 or 18 years of age, he should have a good concept of what civil society has and what his place is in it, and what to expect from it and what he should give into that society. And for me, that's something that a youth club has the capacity to do.
So my name is Jonathan Dowland and I'm a youth work team leader here at Belvedere Youth Club. And Belvedere Youth Club is located in the Northeast Inner City. So as part of my role, I would support the team to work with young people, develop programs, and also evaluate them programs, and also to develop programs that might not be available at the moment, but what we want to be available in the future, and to support young kids, you know. I've been familiar with restorative practice personally since I started the role. So I started the role in 2016. And when I came into the role, I was supported in relation to restorative practice through the National College of Ireland, who I also believe were trained by CDI. So they were trained by CDI, and they used that model here in the Northeast in Ossie. So I had plenty of knowledge in relation to restorative practice, and I'm also a trainer in restorative practice. It's always learning, it's always growing, it's always developing, it's always speaking to practitioners and learning new ways. So for me, I think it's quite a fluent practice, and it helps me in my everyday practice. I use it naturally, I believe, and I create spaces that are quite conducive to restorative within its nature, you know.
My name is Dave Murray. I'm a youth worker here in Bevedy Youth Club. I started here as a young person, actually. I think I was 14 when I came to the club. I'm 24 now, so I joined the staff there about 4 years ago, and I've loved every minute of it. You know, it's been great to work here with the team and to work with the young people, you know, so it's been brilliant, yeah. I loved it here, you know. It was a great space for me to come and to express myself, you know, and to have a safe space to be and to socialise with friends, you know. I think, like a lot of young people, I didn't have the easiest time as a teenager, you know, so having this place here was sort of that sort of solid foundation for me to sort of, to, like I said, socialise, and whether it be play football or play a bit of pool or just have conversations with young people, or not with young people, sorry, with staff, you know, when I was a young person, and which I think is the very essence of restorative practices, is those conversations and those relationships built in.
James' role was to move forward an implementation that had slowly started in 2016, and we discussed the process the youth club went through to implement progressively ERP.
So I suppose, first of all, I've had great support from our board, and our board are really intent on looking at restorative practices. When I applied for the job, we had really good conversations around what the expectations were of the board and what they expected of me and what my expectations of would be of them. So it was a shared vision, one that I think is really, really helpful for the young people that's in the centre itself. And the idea was that we come in here, first of all, and we look at the different types of models that are being used around the world, because this has never been done in a youth work setting. This is the first time that we've actually, anybody's actually tried this being restorative in a youth work setting, because unlike most other areas, this is completely voluntary. Kids come here because they want to come here. Just like restorative practices, it's completely voluntary as well. So restorative practices for me is the proactive side, is that we try and anticipate problems rather than sort of resolve problems after they've happened. So the idea would have been to come in and to put in a model where change isn't as stressful as it normally is. That isn't always the case, but the idea was that we come in, we look at the model, we design the model, and we have one now. We have a relationship model. It actually marries in with the values of the board themselves, the principles and the values, and it marries in with the restorative principles and values, but it also marries in with the youth work values. What the model is looking at is looking at relationships, and how do we build relationships, and in what way do we build relationships, and what does that, what should that look like when we're trying to build a relationship which has a content of power balance in it. So you've got the youth work and you've got the young person. How does that work? We've been looking at, like, you know, we see this in schools as well, where there's a power balance between the teacher and the young person, and like why do the young people have to be in school? They don't have to be here in the youth club. So the youth model was always based around the youth worker building up a relationship with the young person. We're trying to expand that. From a restorative perspective, we believe that it's as important for the young people to build a relationship up with the youth worker, but it's just as important for them to build a peer relationship up in the circle. So the idea is that we look at how do we create spaces, safe spaces for young people to come to where they're going to enjoy and give them a voice. This is strange for a young person because usually children are seen and not heard. We work with young people from 7 years of age up to 24. And what we're discovering is that young people don't have a voice. So we're trying to, as an organization, we're trying to empower that and trying to create a space where young people do have voices. So part of that is by using a restorative methodology.
The model James talked about is displayed in the center. To describe it to our listeners, it's a circle. At the center, BYC, building relationship. In a first concentric circle linked with the center, there are the core values: respect, inclusivity, voluntarism, empowerment, collaboration, problem solving, engagement, and group responsibility. There is a second wider concentric circles: role models, positive communication, inclusive structures, and community vision. It's a lovely, colorful visual. The plan is to embed RP first in the center itself and then in the wider community. So once the model was designed, James explained the other steps, and Dean and Jonathan speak about their experience of being trained. Some staff members were already trained in RP with NCI, the National College of Ireland.
I'm a quality specialist with CDI, so I've been training restorative. I've been training with people restoratively for a number of years, and we use the same model. We use the CDI model in order to train people. So we use the getting started. Prior to this, this organisation had been working with the ELI. Prior to me coming on board, they'd been working with the ELI and in the NCI. That's the Early Learning Initiative, and they had been trained initially by Emma Wheatley, who would have trained some of the staff here restoratively, and some of the board would have heard about it. And what had happened then was they went and they got funding from SNBC. SNBC gave them funding through CIF, which is the it's CIF or CFI. And we redeveloped the whole building itself. So we've got a brand new building here, and then the idea was then let's make it into a restorative hub. So we had to look at what we needed to do to implement that. And first of all, we had to train all the staff. And we trained the staff fully, and we have COPs every week, internal, every bi-weekly we have COPs, which is a community of practices. They're internal ones, just to check how things have been going. The staff are really on board for it. I think it actually works so well with youth work, but like everything else, there's always that element of fear of change. And that's a good, healthy conflict. And we've had sticky periods. So I think when Robert Sharman talks about it, it's fearful in the beginning, sticky in the middle, and beautiful in the end, change, you know what I mean? So, and we're in that sort of sticky, almost out the other side now at the moment, which is really, really good for us, because we've only really implemented this sort of strategy in the last 18 months.
So I think, if I'm not mistaken, when I first actually came here 4 years ago, it would have been around this time of the year, and it was pretty recent after I came onto the team that we actually started to talk about restorative practice and what that was and what that looked like, you know. I think then in the following years, we done some training with ELI from the National College of Ireland, the early Learning Initiative. We had some great trainings there with different people from around the community. It was hosted by Emma Wheatley, which is, I think she's a great advocate for restorative practice, you know. So we would have been trained there in getting started, and then we done some intermediary training then in the meantime, and different trainings then through COVID, online trainings, you know, which I think had its negatives and its positives. You know, it was difficult, I think, because like I mentioned before, relationships, it can be hard to develop them through online, you know. So I think ever since we've gotten back to face-to-face communication with people, it's been brilliant, you know, to sort of have those connections again. My experience of youth work before coming onto the team here was from engaging as a young person, you know. So, and then when I came onto the team, I picked up those skills, you know. I think a lot of the youth work skills are sort of go hand in hand with restorative practice, which is why I think it can be a good fit in youth work. You know, a lot of those values and core values are very, very similar, you know. So just, I suppose, empowerment, conversations with young people, you know, relationship building, positive relationship building. That's a big thing, I think, you know, is that sort of foresight before things escalate, that because we have a relationship with maybe a colleague or with a young person, that we know when to say, okay, whatever's happening here is enough, you know, so we can almost see things happening before they happen. And that we only get that through building good relationships, you know. If for me, I think restorative practice is something that I think a lot of people need to have maybe a light bulb moment, to maybe for it to click in the brain. For some people, unfortunately, it can seem too lovey-dovey, so to speak, you know, talking about too much emotion maybe. But I think for me, when I was in training with the ELI in the National College of Ireland, we done a circle called a fishbowl circle. And that was my light bulb moment, where I seen someone's challenge or someone's issue being sorted out in a room of like-minded individuals, and that problem had many solutions at the end, you know. That was my light bulb moment. Then bringing that back into the youth club here, like we would use restorative practice every day. You know, I think for me, when restorative practice is at its best is when it's almost subconscious. You know, I think a lot of times people try and be conscious about restorative practice and try and maybe use restorative language. But I think for it to work properly, people need to get to the point where they're not thinking about trying to be restorative. They are restorative, you know, and that's something that we're trying to do here. And I think it's something we're being successful in, you know, and using those restorative languages with young people, helping them develop the capacity to understand those languages, you know, to understand those words and what they mean, you know, and that's something that we've been doing. Well, I think it comes from, again, from relationships, you know. I believe that how you get to that point is it's in the name. Practice, you know. I think we need to constantly evaluate and constantly think about how this works and how is it working. If it's not working, can we try something different? And that's something we're very keen to do here, is to constantly evaluate, you know. And that only, like I said, comes through practice, you know. Like the relationships we've built here with young people is, we've gotten to the point now where it's just almost a non-verbal communication between young people. If I, for instance, a lot of times I maybe would walk in the sports hall, which the young people play football, and sometimes it can get a bit heated because the young people are tired, they're emotional, their emotions are high, so sometimes it can get a bit stressed, you know. So a lot of the times I would only have to look at a young person and they'd know, okay, I've crossed the line maybe, and I'll stop doing that. Or if I need to have a conversation, I have the support there from other staff members, that if I need to have a conversation with a young person, whether it be just a chat to ask, listen, what's going on, what happened, you know, and maybe if needs be, going through the six questions with a young person, you know, then that support is there, you know.
So for me, I used to sit in groups and I used to sit in circles. Through my education, going through NUI Minutes, I would have sat in circles and I would have sat in semicircles. And I noticed that oftentimes I'm quite comfortable speaking, so I would have been the one that sort of broke the ice and spoke really soon to get the voice in the room. However, in Belvedere Youth Club in particular, over the past number of years, I've noticed that sometimes when I'm sitting in a circle, silence is bliss. So having that silence, organic atmosphere is really good and really positive. So I think to answer your question, to witness that and to feel that, you have to be in that certain space. So usually you might have felt uncomfortable for other people in that space, even though I was comfortable with my silence. I can look around the room now and see people smile in silence. So for me, that was a real, yeah, this is working, this is natural, this is authentic, you know. I believe that I was very very restorative naturally. And I think restorative practice then gave me a framework to frame what I was doing naturally already. But it also gave me an opportunity then to question things that I was doing naturally. For example, I'm quite a reflective person, and I always would have reflected on things that went on throughout my life and also throughout my study. However, since I embarked on a restorative journey, I'm starting to look at reflexivity now as to reasons why things are happening. And then I can look beyond the event and I can look forward or back, and that allows me to build an analysis. So restorative practice has helped in that sense, but naturally I would have been quite restorative in my everyday dealings, you know.
There were also discussions in the center around training young people or not. Is modeling RP for them enough, or is it helpful to train them? James and Jonathan shared their view on this, and in the end, the center opted for both a strong commitment to modeling and direct training of young people. James is currently piloting a training with the younger students, 7 to 9 years old.
We definitely see that the young people are sort of buying into this and taking it on board. Again, but I feel, and one of my challenges is that I don't necessarily believe that you should train young people in relation to restorative practice. I believe that you should live restorative practice and mirror restorative practice, and naturally young people will gravitate and learn that. So I think that is one of the pros and one of the challenges also. I think the young people subconsciously are becoming aware of restorative practice, but they're not bringing that to the consciously. So it'll take time to do that. So I think over the passage of time, young people will tend to use the skills necessary in order to deal with conflict or in order to deal with situations that might arise in the future. But the young person won't stop, like many adults won't stop and reflect on the theory or the practice behind that, you know. So subconsciously it comes out and it resonates a lot.
With the 7 to 9 year olds, we don't use direct RP training like what you would in CDI. So what we've been using is experiential training, and it's usually always around games, and it's about looking at their own emotional intelligence, and then sort of like the show, we play games with them, and then we let them know why we're playing the game, and then we'll unpack that and ask them how they feel when we play a game. So like one of the games we play is Crocodiles or Frogs. Crocodiles and Frogs is really a game about kids jumping on lily pads and frogs. If they're off the lily pad, they're taken. But what we do with the restorative twist on it, we say to them, like, you have to protect, try and save each other. And why it's important to be close to each other and saving each other. So they're creating bonds with each other. And why do we do that? Why do we help each other? Because we want to be friends. We want to keep friendships going. So we constantly, with the younger people, we don't talk about restorative practice as much. We talk about relationships. So when we're having conversations with the young people, we talk about how much we value our relationships and how much they value each other's relationships. And now the kids are understanding what relationships are now. So it's creating a great space for the young people. Like at one stage, the young people in couldn't stay in the room for any more than 5 or 10 minutes. And now how we're working with them and the games that we're playing with them, we're keeping them in the rooms for an hour and a half, which is really, really, like, our staff are looking saying that never happened before. So it's really good. So there's lots of different things that we're doing in relation to how we work with young people. When you come into anywhere you come into, especially as a young person, if you come in and you see someone who's happy to see you, then you're happy to come there. So like my greeting with all the kids is of a high five at them all. And like in my eyes, they see me smiling in my eyes because I am genuinely happy to see them. And so is all our staff. And when you start working restoratively, you get into that mindset, because like working with young people, like the actors will tell you, don't work with young people and don't work with animals. Like, so, and I don't mean that in any disrespect, but any youth worker will tell you how difficult it is to work with young people, because like, you know, when you get into that teens, the moody and all that. But at the end of the day, when we start working restoratively and we actually understand how powerful being restorative is, And opening the space for the safe space for young people to come in and meeting them where they're at. That's really, really important for me and for our staff. Our staff look at that. And like, again, I'll go back to the fact we're all human and we'll have our bad days. But because we're working with the young people restoratively, they recognize that now. They're starting to recognize that. And they're asking us, are you all right? You know, so when we're in the circle and we circle up and we're going 1 to 10 and our staff member goes, well, I'm a 4 today, because I'm after having a really bad day, the young people are going over and checking and saying, it's something we can do for you, because we're doing it for them. So they're reciprocating. So it's not just, RP is not just benefiting the young people. RP is benefiting the staff as well, but it's benefiting the whole lot. So everything we do in here now as a as an organization, our board want to empower the young people. That's the primary purpose. They want to empower the young people, give the young people a voice, and let the young people. So part of that is we want to give the young people agency in here. So we want them to feel like they own this. This is theirs, not ours. And part of what we're trying to do is we're trying to get them to tell us what they need. Not what we can give them, but what they need. And from that, then we'll try and task our board to give our young people what they need. And part of what I believe was we were all given our own name badges when we came in here as management and staff, and we were, and our lanyards on us and all that. And I looked at the idea and I thought, okay, maybe all the kids should have this. So we start designing badges. We design the badges themselves. We photograph the kids. We put them in the badge, but we don't use lanyards because they're kids and they run around. Sometimes they pull off each other. So we use clips, so they're clip-ons. But now they want the fobs off us. But they bought into it so much. They absolutely love it. Like, and what we've done was we've given them adjective names, positive adjective names. And so like lovely Lottie has just come in there a minute ago, and we have wonderful Willow, and we have Mighty Mason, and we have magnificent Mark. There's so many, and when they're going around, when they call each other that, it's always reinforcing that goodwill to them and that good sort of good feeling, the good positive like adjective to their names. And it's amazing, like the staff have it and all now. We have Magical Mangan, and you've got the Deadly Denise, and like we've got so like everybody has an idea, even our board member Bubbly Braid, you know what I mean? So like, you know, we've everybody uses their manager has a Joyful Jenny, Joker Jonathan, I'm Jammy James. So we've all got adjective names, and we're starting to call each other by the adjective names when we're in here, which for me is absolutely fine. And now parents are coming and saying like, my son hasn't got a badge yet, what's his name? So like, you know, and we're trying to sort of, I've only ordered another 100 badges today.
We discussed the practices and the impact the implementation had in the center, and you'll hear an example of circles with the young people.
When we started here first, like it was quite chaotic when the young people would come in. So, and we've been looking as an organization, how do we calm people down? Because we want to create a safe space for young people. And not all young people want to play football, and not all young people, look, different young people have different needs in each. And in this area itself, we've a high number of ACEs with the young people in this area. It's been devastated over the last couple of years, as everybody knows, with drugs and alcohol and direct intimidation, all this stuff, type of stuff, and gangland sort of issues between huge, almost multinational sort of criminal gangs. So the young people are being badly affected by that, and part of them, there's families who've been directly affected by it, and like police and all that type of stuff. So what we've been trying to do is create a space where young people could come in and feel safe. And part of that is to try and calm them down. So as part of the restorative methodology that we're using, we bring them in and circle them. We circle them up to find out, first of all, how they're feeling before they start. That's not always easy to deal with 7 to 12-year-old young people. Like they want to come in here and they want to play football, or they want to do what they do. And so what we discovered was sometimes we can't get them to sit down. So being innovative, what we done was when they go into the sports hall, we had a session where we sort of said, how do we get them into a circle? So we referred to the Premiership phenomenon that's going on at the moment, where people take the knee against racism. So we got the lads to take the knee, and there were 15 young lads between 9 and 12 years of age, and we checked in with them 1 to 10, how you're feeling. And then we asked them why we were taking the knee. Did anybody know? Most of the kids there didn't actually understand why they were taking the knee, but one young man sort of piped up and gone, oh, that's against racism. And we ended up having a discussion then about racism. So that discussion went on for 10 minutes. Of 11 to 12 or 9 to 12 year old young men having a conversation about racism, the do's and don'ts on racism, why it's not acceptable, why we shouldn't be allowing it in the club. And it was amazing, absolutely amazing. And then he went off and had a game of football. So for me, that is where restorative practice gave a voice, where it was peer led by the young people themselves. I didn't even have anything to do with it.
You know, a lot of times we might use circles. And I think it's a pitfall. I think a lot of organizations get into when they're trying to do restorative practice is that they maybe only use circles in a negative way. They only use circles maybe to sort out a problem and to sort out maybe a behavioural issue. So that leaves an imprint on the young people's minds that circles are only used when something has gone wrong, where I think it's actually the opposite. I think it's a way to check in with young people. It's a way to see where they're at, maybe to gauge the mood of a room, to talk about topical issues, you know. So I'll start off, right? So I'm a 10 today, and my favourite thing about school was meeting up with my friends and having a good time.
So I feel about a 7 today. And my favourite thing about school was doing sports every Friday.
I'm a 10 and my favourite thing about school is PE.
My name's Louis, I'm about an 8. Favourite thing about school is probably on astro pitch.
I'm about an 8. And my favourite thing about school was just meeting up with my friends and having a good time.
My name is Jared and my favourite thing about school is writing.
My name is Fortune and my favourite thing about school is playing with my friends.
My name is Sean and my favourite thing about school is doing PE and meeting up with my friends.
My name is Connor and I like doing PE and playing football.
So what's working really, really well? We like to celebrate our successes because it's vitally important to do that. It's very easy to critique yourself, but maybe it's not so easy to celebrate yourself. So what we do in here is every day when we come in, we'd have a circle, regardless of whether that's the young people, the staff, the management, the cleaners, whoever it might be, we'd circle up, we do a check-in. This is really positive because it gives people a space then to share ideas or share something that might have went on that day with them. So then it helps the rest of the staff recognize if some person's having a bad day or if they're having a good day, and then to be mindful and conscious of that. And it also has a very profound impact on the young people, because a lot of young people now are developing emotional intelligence and having conversations and the dialogue with each other, whereas previously the inherited nature would have been to lash out or to react to situations that might cause conflict. Now they are using their dialect to speak, to communicate, and to try and address what went on previously. One particular story, which I think is really good, is a young person who I would have invested a lot of effort and time into when he was 14 years of age, and we would have done a lot of work and we had a really good relationship. And when he got to 16 years of age, I got him a work experience in a very well established and well thought of company. And I was only developing my relationship with that company. So it was important for me to ensure that he got on really well, but also the company received him quite well. And it would have been basically the passageway for more people to come through. However, through that, this particular young person dropped out of the work experience placement and he never communicated with me. So he was isolated from me and he stayed away from me. However, after the passage of time, we bumped into each other on the street and had a conversation. And since then, now he's regularly comes in here and supports me. And we regularly talk about the... He basically said to me that he was ashamed that he let me down and he felt like the relationship was going to be impacted by that. And he was surprised at my reaction that the relationship wasn't impacted in relation to that. And now we regularly stay in contact and I work closely with his younger brother as a result of re-engaging with that young person, you know.
You can see the power of it. Like, and we've come out of lockdown. We've come out of, like, we stayed up and all through lockdown. We tried to walk because we walk a really... The kids in here have lots of ACEs, as I said earlier on, and we've tried to work with children who are, and it's been difficult for them. It's been really, really difficult for young people. I think we forget that. It's been really difficult for us as adults. So you can imagine what it's like the social awkwardness, not being able to see anybody, you know, masks, not being able to speak to each other, keeping that distance. And they've come back in here, and to see the joy in their eyes when someone calls, like, imagine being called, how wonderful, like, on a daily basis. And I had a conversation this morning with a mammy of one of the young girls that's here. And I recognised her because she looked a lot like her. I won't mention her name, but the mammy said to me, you need to stop because I'm going to go into tears now because of how well the child has gone. Because we were having a discussion about how, and she's she's a beautiful child. I have to say, like, she's a heart of gold, you know what I mean? And we were having a conversation about her this morning, and I was expressing that to the mammy in the shops. And she was like, you know, I know. And she's a single mom, doing her best around everything else. And she's developed such a beautiful young woman. And we're now trying to enhance that by giving her the tools to understand that she is worth. She is, her voice is valid. Her voice is important and we need to hear her. And she's accepting that now for the first time in her life. And you can see her growing. And her mammy can see her growing, which is more important to me than anything else. You know what I mean? So, and meeting parents and sort of explaining to parents what you're trying to do and seeing the light in parents' eyes when, you know, because like when, as a parent, it's quite difficult. Like, you know, you're constantly, when the children's around you constantly and, you know, you've so much to do. Parents are under so much stress today that both parents are out walking. You know, they want to know where they're going, that their children are cared for and are looked after. And that's what we do here. You know, and the parents are coming in and they're seeing this and explaining to them what restorative practice is. And they're going, actually, yeah, I agree with you because do I do that myself? I actually think I do that. Maybe I don't listen enough to them, but I do it. Okay, and it's fantastic, you know what I mean, to see that. And for me, that's the highlight of my day.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed our podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to our show.